So now we're discussing Bhajan Rahasyam. And this is some different verses on Bhava. And this is the last, this is verse 15. We've been discussing over a couple of days about the effect of association. How we associate and hear Harikatha directly from advanced devotees, then it creates some deep bhakti sanskaras, deep impressions of devotion in our mind and heart. Even at first, we don't understand that it's happening, but the effect, the actual effect is cumulative and it reveals itself even after time. Like the analogy of you keep a piece of uranium in your pocket, cesium-137 or plutonium or some radioactive chemical or rock, you keep it in your pocket all day long and walk around for a few months and see what happens. That radioactive rock will infect your body with cancer, and you'll get cancer from the association with that radiation. Although it's imperceptible, you can't feel it, but at a certain point it will manifest itself. So hearing Harikatha from advanced devotees, at first it seems kind of harmless and innocent and intangible. Well, all I did was sit in class. All I did was sit down and hear some talks. But the blessings, the potency, the power, the shakti is actually being instilled in the heart and transforming the heart. And that becomes understood later, after the fact, that actually, oh, something really special happened in all those weeks and days that I spent with hearing from a great soul. And now I'm realizing the repercussions of this Harikatha and the actual transformational effect of it. Maybe at the time some advanced devotees, when they sit for Harikatha, some actually advanced sadhakas, they actually themselves are advanced. And when they sit with advanced devotees and hear Harikatha, they experience, at the moment, at the time, they get transformation. They cry, they tremble, they have ecstatic symptoms. And some people, they sit there. It all depends. I said that the ability to receive the message of Harikatha, or the purity of that Harikatha, or the bhava of that speaker, the receptivity depends on how much the listener surrenders to the speaker, or how much he's connected heart to heart with the speaker. So when it's your own guru, Diksha Guru or Shiksha Guru, and you've accepted that person in your heart, and you are surrendered to that person, then the effect is very pronounced and very profound. We were saying that when one identifies with the heart of the guru very much directly, then the heart of the guru enters the heart of the disciple. So that's how come the disciple sitting in the Harikatha, we've seen this happen. And even the guru is saying, I heard the speaker is saying, many of the things I'm saying now will go over, is way above most of your heads. He was saying, most of you can't understand what I'm saying. But those who have the qualification, those who have the adhikar, they will understand. They will be able to receive. And so this sannyasi was speaking Harikatha, then a few devotees in the audience were crying, because the guru himself was crying, but he's not revealing it, because he was relishing so much ras, bhakti ras, and while he's describing Krishna's lila. So it was affecting, it was touching the hearts of his surrendered disciples, and they were hearing in such a surrendered way that they were experiencing that bhakti ras. And hearts were becoming transformed, and they were crying. They were sitting in the Harikatha, sitting there, and tears were coming down their eyes as they were hearing this pastime described. And other people were falling asleep. Other people were taking notes, getting the theoretical aspect of it, taking notes and catching a few points of theory and philosophy, or maybe writing the pastime down word for word so they could tell it sometime when they go on Brajmandal Parikrama. And other people are just respectfully staying awake and being there because their wife told them that she should come to the Harikatha or whatever. So So there's all different levels and different responses. The Harikatha is one, the speaker is one, but the listeners are many. And that's what we discussed over the review the last couple of days. And this is text 15 about developing this bhava by practicing Raghunuga Bhakti. Now this, again, explains about Didi Darshan, because as I said, for most of us, the deity is our only access to the form of the Lord, the deity, the Archamurti. Of course, there's Chaitaguru, Chaitaguru, Antaryami, then Archamurti, then Prakash Vigraha, and Swayam Bhagavan. So here it talks about attachment to beholding the beautiful form of the deity as described in the Bhagavatam. 10:23-22 Shamam Hiranya Paridim Vanamalya Barha Datu Pravalanataveshamanu Vratamse Vinyasta Hastamitarena Dunanam Abjam Karnot Palalaka Kapola Mukabja Hasam. This is spoken by the Yajnapatnis. These are the wives of the Brahmanas who were doing Yajna on the border of, practically was Vrindavan, but was very much near Mathura side. They spoke this beautiful verse because they had darshan of Krishna. I mean, they heard about him so much. And then they finally, one day, he blessed them by giving his darshan. That's pretty much how it works for everyone. We hear about Krishna. We like it. We get attached to hearing about him. And we get purified by hearing about him. And then we try to remember what we've heard. And gradually Krishna will become so attracted that he'll come and reveal himself. This is an example of the Yajnapatnis. Krishna went out of his way to reveal himself. He went a long way that day. All the coward boys were saying, why are we going so far? From Nandagaon to Batrol, a place called Batrol, which is near the Mahavidya temple. It's on the farthest reaches of Vrindavan, towards Mathura's side. From Nandagaon down to where the Yajnapatnis were living, it's a vast, long distance, 55 kilometers or something, you know, by human standards. And Krishna, one day, he said, oh, we're going to go here. And they said, what? So far. Because Krishna had a plan to give his darshan to his devotees and to teach so many things also about yajna and puja and ritual and what is real, what's important. Is it ritual or is it the essence? So there's so many lessons. So these, they saw Krishna and they said, Shamam Hiranya Paridim Panamalya Barha Datu Pravala Natave Shamanu Vratamse. Krishna is dark, complexioned, like a fresh rain cloud. And his yellow dhoti, which defeats the splendor of gold, shimmers against his body. Shyam's head is decorated with a peacock feather, and every part of his body is ornamented with designs that are drawn with various colored minerals. Sprigs, like little twigs, sprigs of new leaves adorn his body. And around Krishna's neck is an enchanting forest flower garland of five different flowers with five different colors. Dressed in this beautiful way, Krishna appears like a fresh, youthful dancer, expert dancer. Krishna is resting one hand upon his sukha's shoulder, and with the other he's twirling a pastime lotus. His ears are decorated with Makara Kundala. Curly locks of hair splash against his cheeks, and his lotus face blossoms with a gentle smile. Vishwanath In his commentary, he says that the Yajnapatnis, they were interpreting Krishna's actions and his postures as flirting. Flirting, if you don't know what flirting means, flirting is when a boy or a girl tries to move their bodies or look, hold their head or make faces or expressions in a particular way to try to entice or attract the other person. It's flirting. I think that's a good definition of flirting. So Krishna wasn't just standing there looking at them. Even though they're married women, but that's what Krishna prefers anyway. Krishna rather prefers the married ones. So he was standing with his hand on the shoulder of a friend, maybe like could it be like this also. And then he was twirling this lotus flower like and looking at them and he was flirting with them. He was showing that he was keenly interested in them and wanted to have some intimate relationship with them. So he was exciting them by the way he was looking at them and twirling this lotus flower. Shane shane deki shama haranya balita vanamala shiki pinchat datvari mandita natavesha sangi skande nyasta padmakar karnabusha alaka kapola smitadar. This is a Bengali rendition of the same. So this tika is here and it says that upon appearance of Bhav, attachment arises in the sadhaka's heart when he takes darshan of the deity and he experiences the splendor of Krishna's beauty as described in this verse. Sri Krishna's head is decorated with a peacock feather crown and his neck is beautified by a garland of flowers and leaves strung by the Braja Gopis. Krishna's body is decorated with pictures made with aromatic minerals from Kamyavan. This Kamyavan is what we call today in Rajasthan. It's part of Braj Mandal. It's one of the Dwadasavan, Kamyavan. But this is a desert area. And deserts, as you may know, or may not know, but deserts have, there's one feature of deserts, there's lots of rocks in deserts and lots of dirt and sand. But usually there's very, very colorful sand in deserts. Very, very colorful types of earth there from different ages and different time periods of the earth's history. It seems that they collect. Now you go to a beach, if you go to the ocean side in the beach, and there's only one color. The sand is white or off-white. And then you go inland. You go inland a little bit away from the beach. And then there's a few colors of this. There's the soil on the top. Then there's a clay. There's the brown soil. There's kalamiti or pilamiti. In Braj we have kalamiti or pilamiti. There's black dirt or yellow dirt. Then under the dirt there's the clay. And then there's some different layers. But when you go in deserts, there's many, many, when you dig in the earth, there's so many different kinds of rock formations and sand there. You can find 9 or 10 different colors of earth there in deserts. So Rajasthan, which is on the border of the desert, that's where all the Pulinda women would go there and they would collect all these minerals, these rocks, and they would crush them and powder them, just like you get turmeric or haldi. You get haldi, it's a natural yellow thing. Then there's something called potassium permanganate. Potassium permanganate is kind of purple. It's like a crystal color. Then there's sodium sulfate. And sodium sulfate, which is kind of turquoise blue color. So then they would crush these different rocks and get all these different colored powders. And then they would sell them to the coward boys or whatever. And so the Krishna has decorated all these beautiful powders, especially from Kamyavan. This is Kamyavan's speciality. So everything has its value in relation to Krishna. Generally, deserts are considered inauspicious places. Deserts, when someone is a killer of Brahmins, if someone commits Brahman hatya, he kills a Brahmin, then he takes birth in a desert. He's born in a desert. But even deserts, which are seemingly useless places, but the powder, the earth, the sand, the colored sands and powders are very useful for the service of Krishna. So Krishna engages everything. Krishna can engage everything in his service. Everything can be engaged in Krishna's service. So even the desert, the sounds of the desert are being engaged. That's being told. Sri Krishna attracts everyone with his smiling face. Krishna attracts, he puts his left arm around the shoulder of Priyanarmasaka, and with his right hand he twirls a pastime lotus. And so what Vishwanath is telling in his commentary on this verse from Bhagavatam 10:23-22, and this Yajnapatni story of Krishna blessing the Yajnapatnis, is that when Krishna put his hat, when Krishna put his arm on the shoulder of Subal Sukha, and he is actually, by this expression, by this posture, he was telling the gopis, telling the wives of the Brahmins, I could also do this to you. I could also put my arm on your shoulder. So he was, in this way, he was flirting with them. And they're saying, why is that coward boy there? I should be standing next to Krishna. Krishna should be putting his arm on my shoulder. The acharyas explained that from Krishna's twirling of the lotus flower, it can be understood that Krishna's heart dances like the lotus when he sees his devotees. So, in other words, when Krishna was looking at the Yajnapatnis, he was leaning like this and looking at them with his arm on his shoulder. Then he had a small lotus flower. The small lotus flower is closed. It's not open. And he just twirling. He was holding it in his fingers like this. And was going like this, turning back and forth, twirling. And by that he was signaling to these Yajnapatnis, he says, my mind is a little bit agitated. My mind is turning this way, that way, seeing you and appreciating how much devotion and love you have for me. So the acharyas are saying that this can be understood, that Krishna's heart is dancing like this twirling lotus when he sees his devotees. Or it can mean that the devotees' hearts dance like the lotus when they see Krishna. By twirling this lotus flower, Krishna is expressing the feeling, O fortunate Brahmanis, I am holding the lotus of your heart in my hand. Which he is implying, by attaining darshan of me, your hearts dance like this lotus. Or, by accepting your hearts, I will make you my own. So this lotus has so much symbology. And the acharyas are able to see that, Vishwanath is able to see that, and bring this out of this pastime in his tika. This lotus, we see in yoga shastras, in Patanjali's yoga shastras, they talk about the chakras, different types of dhyana or meditation. It's called the Sahasrapadma chakra. Sahasrapadma chakra, this chakra, which is here, and the head, you could say the head region, it's called a thousand petal lotus. Each chakra is a lotus. There's the Manipurvaka chakra, there's the Anahata chakra, there's different chakras, seven different chakras in the body, and they're all shaped like lotus flowers with different numbers of petals. So there's the heart chakra, Anahata chakra, the heart chakra. So the heart itself, even in yoga shastras, is compared to a lotus, Padma. So this lotus of the head, this is the topmost one. This is the seat of self-realization or the seat of enlightenment. The thousand-petaled lotus, and each lotus has a different color. Each chakra vibrates a different colored lotus, a different color. And the Sahasrapadma is pure white lotus with a thousand petals. So when Krishna is holding this lotus flower and he's twirling it in his right hand, that lotus represents the lotus of their hearts or the lotus of his devotees' hearts. So when one surrenders to Krishna, then when he sees Krishna, his heart dances like the lotus. So this verse, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is explaining in Shastiyam Sadhana, because this whole section, chapter 6, is commentary on Nayanam Galadashudarya, Bhadanam Gadgaravridyagira. It's all about Jata Rati Sadak. The Sadaka at the level of Bhav. Bhav has appeared in him. And what he experiences at the level of Bhav. These Yajnapatnis, they had bhav. They were at the level of bhav. They had intense bhav for Krishna, which developed simply by Shravanadasha. by Shravanadasha, but from Anuragi Vaishnavas. Brajatishtana Anuragi Anugami. These Yajnapatnis, they were living in Vrindavan, on the border of Vrindavan. But they were associating with the gopis, the elderly gopis. They were associating with the Pulinda women, the Adivasis. which were the ladies of Vrindavan that actually had seen and heard about Krishna's pastimes. So they would come to their house and sell them different kasturi and sell them flowers or whatever, and mineral powder. And then they would inquire, "Oh, what's the latest news about Krishna?" So they were hearing Harikatha. The Yajnapatnis were hearing Harikatha from Brijbasis, from the Palinda women or for some Malis or whatnot. So that had great effect. So that Shravana Dasha, by hearing about Krishna's Leelas, his Rup, his Nam, Rup, Gun, and Leela, from Brijbasis, Anuragi Vaishnavas, they developed intense attachment to Krishna, the Yajnapatnis. They never saw him, but they had developed intense attachment and intense bhav. They came to the level of bhav, and they had intense desire to see Krishna. So when Krishna finally appeared there to accept their gifts of charity, of fruits and whatnot, then they truly drank in the beauty of Krishna's form with their bhava-filled hearts. Because we see, it's called bhav-drishti. And bhav-drishti means seeing according to the bhav. So their bhav was prem bhav, was love. They had actually attachment, asakti bhav, for Krishna. So when they saw, they appreciate, always twirling his lotus flowers, hands on the shoulder of a friend, his curly locks are bouncing on his cheeks, and his makara kundala are dancing, and glimmering rays of light are shooting from his makara kundala, and his lotus petal eyes are dancing, and he looks like he himself, the way he's dressed with his Vaijanti mala, and the way he's moving and with his glimmering yellow dhoti, he looks like an actor on the stage dancing before our eyes. Our hearts, and he's twirling that lotus. I think he's playing games with us. He's flirting with us. He's twirling this lotus. Actually, he's trying to spin our hearts. Because now we're captivated. Now we're enchanted. And we can't move. We can't leave from here. Then Krishna starts speaking. And he tests them with his speech. "Oh, why have you come? It's nice. Welcome. Nice to see you. Oh, your husbands must be home. You should go home." And that's the difference. That's why that story is there in chapter 20. Chapter 23, to show the difference between Krishna's dealings with the gopis and Krishna's dealings with the Yajnapatnis. The gopis are also married, Parakiya Bhav. The Yajnapatnis are also married. But when Krishna tested the Yajnapatnis, they ran home. They ran back to their husbands. When Krishna tested the gopis with the same exact questions, "Why have you come here? You should go home. Your husbands are looking for you." The gopis said, "Hey, look, we're not going anywhere. We came here to surrender to you, to serve you. We're not going anywhere. You can say whatever you want. We're not going anywhere." So the gopis passed the test. Sarvadharman pratyaja mamekam sharanam braja. They are completely surrendered with no fear. Masuchaha. They have no fear. No fear of pati dharma, patni dharma, loka dharma, stri dharma, varna dharma, ashram dharma. There is no attachment, no fear in the gopis. They are completely absorbed in Krishna prem. So this verse, he's explaining how this is the experience of one on bhav. He actually really can appreciate the beauty of Krishna, the didi darshan. Bhav brings appreciation. Bhav brings an intense appreciation of the beauty of Krishna. So for us, as I mentioned, we're not having sakshat darshan of Krishna like the Yajnapatnis, but we are fortunate enough to have darshan of the Archamurti, the deity form of the Lord, and we're worshipping the deity. So when we come to the level of bhav, then we'll actually appreciate the true beauty of the Lord through the bhav drishti, through the eyes of bhav, or pure love. So the acharyas also say that this twirling of the lotus represents the hearts of the Yajnapatnis, which Krishna is making dance, but it also means that he's revealing that his own heart is affected by their love. Well, this is Krishna. He's the supreme reciprocator. He reciprocates in kind with his devotees. Yayatamam prabhadyante tam sataiva bhajamyaham mama vartmana vartante manusha partha sarvashah. In Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, verse 11, Krishna is telling, "As you surrender unto me, I surrender unto you. As you love me, I love you. As you serve me, I serve you. As you remember me, I remember you." So this is, "As you hanker to meet me and hanker to see me, I hanker to meet you and I hanker to see you." So this is the reciprocation with the Lord. So these Yajnapatnis, they were so excited and thrilled to see their Lord. And their hearts were dancing like the lotus in Krishna's hand. But Krishna was also very thrilled and excited to see his devotees. love is like this. It goes both ways. So then he's twirling it. He's nervous. Krishna becomes nervous in front of his devotees. Their love agitates. When you're agitated, you're nervous. You're a little bit unsettled. So love can unsettle one. So Krishna was nervous in front of the gopis. So out of his nervous, like a nervous twitch, you're scratching your head or something. He had his lotus flowers. Zoop, 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 zoop. He spins it this way, that way. Zoop, 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 zoop. So that's indicating that I'm so much enchanted and I'm somewhat a little bit anxious and disturbed by your intense love for me, because I see it registered on your faces. And the way you're standing is also attracting me. So this is going on in this verse, that Krishna entices all living entities to drink nectar by attracting them with the sweetness of his beauty. By his mercy, many kinds of pastimes manifest within the sadhaka's heart, and he experiences the happiness of relishing these pastimes. So when the devotee advances, then Krishna is merciful. Then it's called lila pravesh, or it's called spurti. At the level of bhava, one can begin to have spurtis. You can see Krishna's pastimes. Spurti vi spurti sakshat darshan. So these spurtis are the gift of the Lord. The gift of the Lord for the pure devotee. Well, the Lord gives spurtis. They're an award. They're a gift of the Lord, these visions of his pastimes. And the devotee experiences great relish and happiness in viewing these spurtis. Just like some new movie comes to town, and you've never seen this movie before. And then you go to the theater, and you see this movie, and you say, oh, this movie so much gives me so much pleasure. This movie has given me so much happiness. It has come in. It wasn't here before. It's come to my city, and I've seen it in the theater, and I saw it for some time, and then it left. But while I was seeing it, I felt so much pleasure. So this movie is a gift of the movie theater or the director. In the same way, these spurtis are these darshans of Krishna's pastimes that are given, they're brought to us, brought to you by Krishna Productions. So this spurti is brought to you by RK Studios. So RK Studios, when Krishna is pleased with our surrender and our purity, then he brings a spurti, and one sees the pastime when chanting japa or when just meditating. And that's a great gift, because Krishna is not blind and Krishna is not ignorant, and Krishna is not forgetful, and Krishna is not sleeping. He's very much attentive and aware of the position of his devotees. So whatever they require at the particular time of their development, then Krishna will arrange for that to be provided. He preserves what we have and carries what we lack. Yoga Shivam Maham Yam. So if we need a particular book, we'll get the book. If we need a particular sangha, we'll get the sangha. If we need a particular place, we'll get the place. And then when we have deeper needs and more profound needs, then we need to see him, and we're burning with a desire to see him or to enter his lila, and we have sufficient purity and adhikar, then Krishna will give us darshan, lila pravesh. But this doesn't come. You can imagine and pretend. That's called kalpana. Kalpana means imagining, pretending. But this is a type of cheating. Artificial entrance. So when one comes to the level of bhav, then all these special things happen. Special reciprocations from the Lord. Is there any questions? The question is that it seems that even a devotee is trying very hard to serve the Lord and please the Lord to his best abilities, but he doesn't see any reciprocation coming from the Lord on any level. So what's going on here? Why is the Lord doing like this? If he's so personal and so loving and so kind and so generous. So he's an autocrat. Krishna's a transcendental autocrat, which means he's totally independent. And his time frame and our time frame may not match. Now, he's working on eternal time, and we're working on limited time. It's a limited offer. This offer is only for 2 weeks. So we're only working on a time frame of 60 years or 70 years, and then we'll die. So we're thinking we don't have much time. And he's very slow to respond because he's working on eternal time. He's working over lifetimes. So it's his game. It's his lila, as I said. So he's, when he wants, autocrat means it's his game, and you play by his rules. So whenever he wants, and generally he wants, what we see, and if we read about, as you mentioned, Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, and other devotees throughout the history of devotional literature, Krishna seems to be the type of lover, the type of lord, the type of personality. He likes to bring his devotees to the point of utter desperation, where they feel that I have no more time. We see so many cases. We see in the lives of various devotees that Krishna wants the devotees to come to the point of desperation. And what often happens is devotees feel so desperate in their relationship with Krishna, they feel so desperate in his apparent lack of reciprocation that they say, I'm going to fast until I die. Say, Krishna, I'm going to, not that we're recommending this. It's called the forced darshan technique. That they say, Krishna, like Vishnu Chakravarti, and so many devotees, like they say, I'm going to fast until I leave my body, Krishna, unless you reveal yourself to me, or unless you solve this riddle of your pastimes or this riddle of your tattva. So then they do that. They start fasting for several days, and then they have a dream or they have a sporty, and then Krishna reciprocates. So generally, we, especially in Kali Yuga, we tend to be a little impatient. And knowing our tendencies, Rupa Goswami has addressed this. Rupa Goswami has specifically addressed this deficiency in the Kali Yugites in his Upadeshamrita. Nishchayat Utsaha Nishchayat Dharyat. He says that one of the most important factors a devotee must develop is patience. That Krishna really will reciprocate. Krishna, one thing for sure, Krishna has never let his devotee down. And usually what the problem is our side. We're not that desperate and we're not that patient. And he just wants to see us more desperate and more patient. You see, the gopis are so desperate in the Gopi Gita. They are going completely crazy. And then more crazy and most crazy and absolutely crazy. And then Krishna kind of steps out from behind the bushes. Oh, I'm here all the time. I was watching you. I heard all your prayers. I heard your Gopi Gita. I heard everything. I saw your expressions. I saw you imitating my pastimes. I saw everything. And now I'm amazed at the extent of your love and the extent of your attachment. So, well, here I am. I have appeared. So usually Krishna keeps himself a little bit invisible, some Jews, in order to increase our attachment. And with each devotee, that he works in a different way. So just about the time we're about to throw away Krishna and give up on him, then he manifests. That seems to be his way of dealing. He does test you to the unlimited extent. He's not there, and then finally he reveals himself. So I can only say that there's never been a case where a devotee has never been, because his name is Achyuta. Krishna's name is Achyuta. And the word Achyuta means one who never fails to reciprocate with the love of his devotees. Achyuta, one who never fails to reciprocate with the love of his devotees. The general easy translation is infallible. And Krishna doesn't make any mistakes. He doesn't, in other words, he doesn't fail. Achyuta. But the more developed definition is that Krishna never fails to reciprocate with the genuine loving expressions of his devotees. So I guess if he's not reciprocating, it means our love is not that genuine. We have to increase the genuineness of our love and increase the intensity of our effort. And all the while, all these increases have to be done in the context of patience, patiently waiting. Tate no kampam shushimik shamano bunjana evatmana kritam vipakam ridvagvapubir vidadandamaste jivete yomukti pade sadaya bhak. That Brahma addresses a similar problem in the 10th canto, chapter 14, verse 8, Brahma Vandanam. He says, "My Lord, kritam vipakam, I'm really suffering, and you're not coming before me. I'm not perceiving you, I'm not seeing you. I'm not going to stop. Rid, vag, vapubir, with my heart, with my vag, with my words, with my vapu, with my body. Vidadan namaste. I'm going to keep offering prayers. I'm going to keep serving you. And no matter what." And then that's what I say from my side. Then Krishna says, "Oh, really? Then from my side, I'll tell you this. Jiveta yomukti padesa dayabak. Dayabak, you will inherit. Your inheritance from the Father, you'll inherit something. Dayabhak means inheritance. Jiveta yomukti padesa dayabhak. That devotee, he will get this. He will get the muktipad. He will come to the Vaikuntha. He will come to the place of Mukunda. So perfection is guaranteed. Krishna's darshan is guaranteed. Liberation is guaranteed for any sincere devotee that tolerates the reactions of his own karma and tolerates Krishna's negligence, seeming negligence, and goes on serving him no matter what. Eventually, he'll inherit the kingdom of God and he'll attain eternal darshan of Krishna. So this is what Brahma is telling us. Bhajan Rahasyam Ki Jai.